Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us today is Tom Peters, NDSU sugar beet agronomist, and U of M doing a lot of work on sugar beets. So let's talk a little bit about crop condition and things that people are looking at in the field right now. Weather has kind of been all over the board, depending on where you're at in the valley and across sort of the tri-state area here. Tell us what you're seeing in the field and what are some of the consequences, I guess, of that.
Thanks, Whitney. So first of all, I cover a lot of ground. So during a week's time, I might cover from Bathgate, North Dakota, all the way down to Hutchinson, Minnesota. So it's the sugar beet growing area in Minnesota and North Dakota. So by and large, all of our sugar beets are planted. So there's a few fields here and there, but let's call it 100% planted. Our sugar beets are ranging anywhere from just coming out of the soil, emerging from soil, all the way up to 8 leaves. So we have some big shields, big beets already, Whitney, and they're correlated with some of those earliest planted fields. Most of those occurred the first week in May.
All right, and with the different, you know, conditions that people have been dealing with, some areas have seen a lot of water, some areas, I guess everywhere at this point, has seen a lot of heat. What does that mean for, you know, the crops that we plant aren't always the only thing that grow in the field, so people are dealing with a lot of issues as far as weed control right now.
Yeah, so that's a very keen observation that you've made about the rainfall. So especially the last 3 weeks, our rainfall has been very inconsistent. So these pop-up storms where one area will get an inch, maybe 2 inches of rain, and you drive a mile, and there's no rain at all. So, and I just got out of the field, Whitney, and I can tell you what I'm seeing in this field is a variable stand. So the most advanced beets are going to have 4 leaves this week. But then if you look hard, there's a lot of places where there's still cotyledon beets that are just coming out of the soil. And I think that's probably a consequence of the year that we've had, where some beets found moisture, some didn't, and some of them are just starting to germinate and emerge now. So what does that mean? Well, for weed management, that's a real challenge, especially for growers that identify water hemp as their most important weed. Because our label says to spray at the 2-leaf stage. Well, what is the stage when we have cotyledon beets all the way up to 4-leaf beets? So in many respects, we've got to, you know, we have to use our estimate as to what the average growth stage is.
You talked about variability. What has this, as far as germination for weeds and that sort of thing, what has this, you know, heat meant for that?
Well, we have a very committed set of growers. Our growers do an excellent job of following our recommendations. And I think the toughest part for me as a weed scientist is not seeing rain, timely rain, to activate the products that they are applying. So my rule of thumb for our herbicides is from 0 to 10 days after application. I think it's okay. I call that the green light. From 11 to 14 days, I call that the yellow light, because there's some concerns if we're getting degradation of herbicides, or our herbicides are just, you know, not going to be as effective as they would have been if it normally would have rained. And then after 14 days, I think that's a problem. We probably can't count on those herbicides to be as effective as if we would have had rain right away. So the consequence of that is The weeds don't care. The weeds are continuing to germinate and emerge. So having a backup plan, maybe using a post-emergence spray to control escapes in the cases of pigweed where we didn't get them with our planned program, is something that our growers are going to have to be concerned about as we move ahead.
And you also, before we started rolling here, talked a little bit about some of the concerns for 2022, the fall of 2022, setting up some potential issues here in 2023 with some delays and a lot of snow and a lot of moisture here yet this spring too.
Yeah, you know, I've seen some carryover this spring. And at first I was wondering, you know, this doesn't make any sense. But then if you really think about it, if you go back and reflect on the months, the last 6 or 8 months, it does start to make a little more sense. So I'll give you an example, Whitney. So it was very dry last August, September, October, really all the way through the end of the season. So our herbicides, which normally are broken down by microbes, soil microbes, and microbes need water. So they were largely ineffective in the fall at breaking down our herbicides. And then if we think back to this spring, I'm sure there were a lot of fields where we still had snow on them the first week of April. So once again, we're not going to get any microbial degradation of herbicides when there's, you know, when there's snow on our fields or our fields are cold early in the spring. So the combination of the fall and our late spring has created some challenges with some of the soil applied herbicides that have been in the crop sequence with sugar beets. So in most years, we wouldn't expect problems, but it's just a consequence of the last 6 or 8 or 9 months that we've had, Whitney. And unfortunately, sugar beets are very sensitive, and we're seeing some injury in some situations.
And outside of weed control and the issues you just talked about there, what are anything else that sugar beet growers should be paying attention to, thinking about right now as we continue on this growing season?
Well, one of the things that I'd be thinking a little more about is soil temperatures. So we normally, for growers that are making applications of products for Rhizoctonia, some of those applications are triggered by soil temperature. And because of how warm it's been, our soil temperatures are actually warmer than you might expect for this time of the year. So I would encourage growers that are thinking about using a fungicide for Rhizoctonia to keep an eye on soil temperatures, probe the soils, and if anything, they might be surprised that they may need to make those applications a little earlier than normal.
All right. Anything else we should add before we let you go?
Well, I can't end this without indicating the weed of the spring so far has not been water hemp. It's been kochia. There's kochia all over the place. So the interesting thing with kochia, it isn't as uniform in fields. It tends to be more predominant on the edges of the field. But It's been probably my most common call so far this season is controlling kochia and sugar beets. And unfortunately, we don't have a great array of products either. So we have to target small kochia for its control. Once it's 3 inches tall, it's very, very difficult to control, Whitney.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the information, and I'm sure people are hoping for some more evened out rain and a continued decent growing season here.
I know I certainly am. I have about 20 locations this year, and it's all over the board in terms of the rainfall we've had so far.
Yeah, it's been a wild season so far. But again, thanks for the information, Tom Peters, joining us here on the Red River Farm Network.